This is After Dark on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I am glad you could join us tonight. My co-host is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. Folks, we've got a lot to discuss. And if you were listening to our show on last night, you know that we ran up against the clock and I was giving my final analysis on the story that we heard about from Robert F. Kennedy and a dead worm that he claims had eaten part of his brain. Now, I think the story is really out there, far-fetched, but so are some of his ideas. And I find it interesting, as we've said before in the show, that believe it or not, Heather, a lot of Republicans were saying that Trump should pick him as a running mate. And I kept saying, but he's a Democrat. He's a Democrat. And I think that the only thing they were looking at was the fact, well, his stance on COVID, he got that right. With the shutdown, he thought that was just having forced to take the vaccine. He thought it was crazy. You know, but
it was. And he also was a strong Israel supporter, Rob, it should be said. He's an old school Democrat in that way, RFK Jr.
Old school Democrat who is okay with a baby being brought full term and then aborted. So how old school Democrat can you get? But let me finish. So he came up with this wacky idea, and I think he talked about this about probably like 10 years ago, that a brain was a dead worm was eating his brain. And I think he was in the middle of a divorce when he concocted this crazy idea. And when we were closing the show last night, I know that you wanted to comment, but as I mentioned, we were up against the clock and we had to go off the air. But I did promise our listeners that we would reintroduce this topic as well as get your thoughts on Nikki Haley and what she should be doing right now to support Trump. So, Heather, without further ado, we're going to first toss it to you to give your thoughts on Robert F. Kennedy and the dead worm that was eating parts of his brains. Do you believe it? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I'll tell you what, Rob, you know, with some of the things I and people I know have been through recently in terms of health, some bizarre things, I wouldn't dismiss it, honestly. I mean, I know this may be a bit afield of that, but I mean, one thing I do like about RFK Jr., I believe that, let's put it this way, anything that they tell you is safe, we're talking about the establishment, the FDA, you know, may or may not be, but you can be darn sure if they tell you something's unsafe, it's a known carcinogen, it's poison. I mean, this is now my belief, you know, from experiences I've had. And I think he's on to a lot, Rob. I think that he, you know, he's eccentric, but sometimes it takes an eccentric and an outlier to be willing to speak unpopular truths, to be willing to be labeled crazy. Maybe some of his ideas are crazy, but, you know, a stop clock is right, you know, once a day. And I happen to believe there was a lot that he had to say about vaccinations that was true, that was buried. I think we have, you know, huge interests in this country that benefit from, you know, as you would say, you know, move along, nothing to see here. I think that was true of the thimerosal in, childhood vaccines that was all pulled. Notice the J&J vaccine has been pulled off the market with no discussion. I think there's a lot that goes on that, you know, the government doesn't want us to know about because, and maybe they feel they have to because they don't want to panic. And these are huge macro level, you know, mandates. And it's true that if everybody started refusing to get vaccinated, we'd have bigger problems. So, you know, it's complicated. But I think that he, you know, is he's a gadfly. He's been on to certain, you know, unpopular truths. So I'm sort of not so inclined to dismiss things that he says. I mean, you know, I mean, let's face it, the establishment we're supposed to believe is so smart and that, you know, and but I mean, they've gotten us into quite a few pointless wars. They've rubber stamped a lot of things that turned out to be terrible for people's health. They overreacted and mishandled COVID instead of really efficiently protecting the most vulnerable and asking sacrifices of Americans. They locked down whole populations while letting other people do whatever they wanted and unevenly enforcing the law, and said that it was safe when it was unsafe and that it was unsafe when it was safe. I mean, I just think he functions, you know, as an important kind of watchdog of the establishment, government, big pharma, you know, much in the way Ralph Nader did for a lot of years. So I think he's an important voice. But in terms of, you know, the likelihood of him being president, I think that's very slim. You know, I was reading that he is, in the latest analyses, it seems the fear is that he'll pull votes away from Trump. So, you know, Trump's been out there insulting him, you know, and I guess maybe Trump's, you know, understandably trying to neutralize him, because a lot of MAGA voters are, you know, keyed into what I'm saying. I mean, they know that he has challenged the establishment on some things that he may be right about, RFK Jr. But I don't think that means he's the right choice for president. You know, so I take him seriously as an important voice.
I don't think he's presidential material at all. And I think that those individuals who were thinking that he should be Trump's running mate, they were completely, I still don't get it. I mean, because I saw through it from day one. I'm like, what are you folks talking about? He's a Democrat. Trump will only serve 4 years. Once Trump is out, that person that Trump picks, in essence, is the president if the Republican were to run and win. So do you actually think that all at once RFK is going to change all of his views and become a Republican? Yes, he got it right on COVID, and so did so many other people on both sides of the aisle. But that doesn't mean that we should just go out and pick Robert F. Kennedy. And I remember there was an associate of mine who was dead set on, you've got to listen to Robert F. Kennedy, you've got to listen to some of the things he says, and I think you'll like him because he's right on point with his policies. I'm like, well, that's the only thing he's on point with. Everything else is crazy world, in my view. I mean, the man is, he's a Kennedy. What do you expect? And of course, the other Kennedy clan.
Well, but they're stabbing him in the back. But I mean, he's gone against some of their knee-jerk, extremist, liberal, you know, blather. And I do give him some points for individuality. I think he's the best of them, which may not be saying much. But yeah, I hear you.
Right. And the fact, again, what really stops me is that he is okay with abortion, a baby being 8 months to term and then aborting it. I don't know. I didn't even know Democrats felt that way or thought that. I knew that Ralph Northam, the former governor of Virginia, West Virginia, he was okay with it. Remember that whole deal that he did on radio saying, well, the baby will be born, we'll make sure the baby is comfortable, and then we'll make a decision. I thought, are you insane?
In some kind of it, you know, I mean, there are very rare cases of extreme, terrible disease or something where what they call incompatibility with life, where, you know, I assume they're not talking about a healthy baby. I mean,
well, he didn't distinguish. He didn't distinguish. And he made it seem as if, though, just abortion as a whole. And that gave me reason to pause. So when you have someone like Robert F. Kennedy, and he's not explaining it, so he leaves it for, there's room for interpretation. And I would say, you know, to err on the side of caution, that when a person says something, believe them. They'll make you think, well, you know, actually I meant this just to get your support, but in actuality it's something completely different. So for me, the very beginning, I was like, no way, he's a Democrat. He's a lifelong Democrat. Yes, he's a Democrat who was against COVID. Yes, he's a Democrat that called out Dr. Fauci, Dr. Frankenstein. I agree with all that, and I'm glad he did it. But there were Republicans also who did the exact same thing. So why is it that we would elevate him above those Republicans and then try to connect him with Donald Trump and think, oh, he should pick him, and if he picks him, I would definitely vote for him? I'm like, folks, wake up. Don't be so easily deceived. Now, that being said, we end it, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Nikki Haley. Where is Nikki Haley?
Mm-hmm.
She's quiet as is kept. Well, actually, she hooked her wagon up against some big corporation, so she's making a whole lot of money. That being said, her name did resurface, as I mentioned during last night's show, after she won, or not, she didn't win, but she got 20% of the votes in Indiana. And of course, the left-wing media, they loved it. Oh my God, this is a sign that people still want her. They want her over Trump, as if Democrats are going to actually vote for her. Well, they did during many of the primaries in Iowa and New Hampshire. I think in South Carolina, Democrats actually crossed the party line to vote for her, and they can do that during the primaries. But do you actually think that Nikki Haley, that they want her to be president? I mean, and I even heard she even went on the campaign trail telling Democrats, oh, why don't you cross over? You can cross over and you can vote for me. But there was nothing else there. It's not as if though they were embracing her policy. It was more so, we don't want Trump and we're going to upset him by voting for you. And it's like, can't she get that? Doesn't she understand it? And I was really surprised and disappointed when Governor Sununu of New Hampshire jumped on that bandwagon and he was helping her push that lie and telling Democrats, vote for her, because you'll give her the momentum and then she'll beat Trump. I'm like, are Republicans that naive? I mean, are we so committed to destroying, blowing up the party that simply because people don't like her or don't like Trump, you're saying vote for her so that she could stop Trump? You're doing the Democrats' bidding for them. So my position now at this point is that, yep, she's off working, making a lot of money with some big corporation. And before she left the campaign trail, she said that she wasn't going to endorse Trump and that Trump need to earn the vote of her followers, the folks that voted for her. No, I thought that was a bit selfish, because she could have just walked off the stage and just said, okay, it's over for me, I'm going to move on. But she didn't. And I think that it's people like Nikki Haley, a true rhino, who will cause more harm to the party than good. Because who else are they going to vote for? I was watching Laura Ingraham the other night, and she was talking to Ken Langone, who was one of the founders of Home Depot, who supported Nikki Haley. Mm-hmm. And she was asking him, she said, well, she's out now, and you have been very vocal as to what's happening in New York with these trials. If they're not, the trial in New York with Alvin Bragg, Letitia James, and the other trials that are trying to commence. And she said, you've been saying that it's wrong, it shouldn't happen. He said, yes, and I agree with it. She says, so now, would you say that you would support Trump? And he was hesitant. He said, well, you know, he's got to do this, he's got to say that. Again, here's my position. If you're a Republican, Trump is the only choice. There is no one else. Even if they convict him, he's staying in the race. The party has shown you that they want Trump. So what are these party bigwigs doing besides trying to sabotage our chances in the polls come this November? So it goes back to Nikki Haley. As opposed to trying to make all this money and enrich herself and her family, you would think she would come out and say, folks, it's over, I'm not in it, let's support Trump. Let's support him, because we know what's happening to him right now with all of these trials in these blue states by blue attorney generals, blue district of attorneys funded by George Soros. We know that they're after him because they want to stop him. We know that the media doesn't like him. We know that the media is trying to stop him. And they keep trying to make it seem as if though Trump committed a crime when in actuality he didn't. Well, he did this NDA. All corporations do it. Even Mike Bloomberg said that he has done NDAs. 100, if not more, NDAs. You know, so
including lawyers, no NDAs.
Heather, I think your mic is messed up because you're breaking up, Heather. But I think the issue is that people need to understand what an NDA involves, non-disclosure agreement. Because the media is making everyone think that, oh no, it's wrong. Yeah, but look at CBS. Look at all the NDA agreements that they did for Matt Lauer. Look at CNN. It's like, you know, they do it, but they want to assume. But let me finish. They want you to assume that it's something wrong, it's something nefarious, when in actuality, it isn't. And even if Trump paid her, it's not a crime. So what crime did Trump commit? But you see, you have Republicans who are standing on the sidelines thinking, well, let's see what's going to happen. He is the candidate. There is no other. So I was glad the other day, Heather, when I saw these different senators and representatives show up at the courthouse in support of Trump. And I think that they should continue to do it because there's no one else who's going to take his place. The people have voted, they want Trump. So it's time to get on the bandwagon, and it's time for Nikki Haley to get off her high horse and just say, look, he's our candidate. I support him. I support him completely. Look at Ron DeSantis. He's now making calls to different donors in support of Trump. And that was a brutal, he and Trump had a brutal primary. They were going at each other. And I always said from day one, Heather, that I didn't think that Ron DeSantis was ready for, prime time. And he proved us right. And maybe later on, he will be ready. But at this point in time, he just wasn't ready. And I think that he was listening to these Republican operatives like Karl Rove, who was saying, oh, no, don't worry about it. You got this. But he didn't get it. The same thing with Nikki Haley. So I would submit to Nikki Haley right now, Nikki, put on your big girl panties and just say, look, I support Trump. I want all of my supporters that voted for me to support Trump. This is the only way we will win come November. We can't enter November or the summer in a fractured party. We know what the Democrats are doing. They're trying to take Trump out. We see it. It is time for them to stop playing the games. But see, Democrats know that they won't do it. Even the media, they've even said it on some of their shows. The commentators have said, this case is lousy. It should have never been brought forward. You should have more people writing editorial pieces and calling out this judge because he's corrupt. How can he sit and be in judgment of this trial knowing that his daughter is benefiting? And even one of his New York liberal colleagues, Judge Reva Shindlin, has called him out and said that he should have recused himself. But he won't because he feels as if though he's the only person who can hold Trump accountable. Heather, guess what? We're up against a commercial break, but I will guarantee you, I will let you respond because I know you have a lot to say. You're listening to After Dark on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. We will be back after this brief commercial break to continue the conversation.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Okay, we're back, and Heather was having problems with her mic, but I think we've worked that all out. And folks, that's what happens when you're live and you have a lot to talk about and you're ready to talk about it. And as always, some little gremlin will start messing around with the wire so that you can't hear the other person or the sound is distorted. That's modern technology for you. What can you say? Hey, remember, Al Gore claimed that he created the internet. Maybe he created all these problems. But anyway, we're back. And I want to get Heather's thoughts on what I was saying about Nikki Haley, as well as Republicans coming out and supporting Trump. So let's start with Nikki Haley. What do you think Nikki should be doing right now, Heather?
Well, I agree with you, Rob. I think that the best thing she could do is throw her support behind Trump. It's time to rally around him. I think that he was a fine president. We know there was a lot of division in the country, but you know my thoughts about that. I think the left was mostly scaring itself. The economy was better. The world was at relative peace. We had a better situation with the border, just better quality of life overall in every way, less crime, you know, except for he got hit with COVID. We all did. That was bad luck. And, you know, I would give him a B in terms of how he handled it. He's not a doctor. It wasn't his place to start dictating that we couldn't do the lockdowns that the experts told us to. You know, I think Trump, contrary to the caricature of him as some kind of a dictator, was, if anything, rather deferential to the scientific authorities, to the governors of the states once the protests and riots set in. I mean, some dictator, right? I mean, he let riots go on for 6 months that we were told were peaceful, and we were told not to believe our own lying eyes. I mean, I think that for a few reasons, he erred on the side of having a light touch domestically and in terms of foreign policy. I think he was the opposite of the warmonger that he's caricaturized as. He didn't get us into any new adventure wars. That would be Biden. You know, Ukraine stalemate is Biden's war, and the terrible economy is Biden's economy. So I think on balance, you know, Trump did, you know, objectively speaking, a pretty good job. And we have a terrible president now. We have a world at war, terrible economy, unsafe streets, epidemics raging across the country. And I think that, yeah, Nikki Haley, you know, she's an establishment woman. Some people like that. It's not my thing, but, you know, she is talented at unifying people. I think she has that. I mean, anyone who's willing to be brought along and unified tends to like her. And I do give her that. And I think if she could lend her support to him, I mean, you know, in fairness, he has not, you know, one of the few things I would critique about Trump's recent performance. I mean, I think he called her a bird brain at one point, which was unfortunate because, I mean, that really, he appointed her ambassador to the United Nations. So if anything, he's undermining his own judgment to say that of her. I certainly don't think that of her. I think she's a smart woman. I think she's a, you know, a company woman. But, you know, she's a tough woman. And I think she ought to, you know, rally around the next president. I agree with you.
Yeah, because what else is she waiting for? She's not. And I heard. Go ahead.
She may be waiting for her chance. I mean, I don't think there's any real chance he's going to pick her as VP, you know, because he said he won't. That just the other day, I don't know if you saw, he said he will not be picking Haley.
I saw that.
She may just feel like, well, that would have been her chance to be the eventual president if he had picked her, you know, and I think he would have been smart to pick her. I don't know why he doesn't. But I think that might have been her path as she saw it. And since he's not going to do that for her, she may feel, well, why don't I try my luck in 4 years, you know, after Biden wins again and this country's on its knees and they, you know, Trump's too old. You know, she may be thinking that.
Well, I think that there are a lot of people who felt earlier on that Nikki Haley would be the person. I mean, I have to admit, when she was the ambassador to the UN, I liked her and I did see promise in her. I felt that this woman and Andrew and I, we spoke about this on our show. But then when she decided to run, and again, politics is a blood sport. You have to have thick skin. And some of the comments that Trump made about a bird brain, I didn't agree with that. It was funny, but for certain people, they're completely turned off by it. But Nikki knew what was happening. And she herself came after Trump in saying that he was old He's forgetful. And I thought to me, I'm like, wait a minute, you're using the Democrats' talking point. So I was completely turned off with that. And then once she realized that she wasn't going to win, especially in Iowa, and she continued this into New Hampshire and then into South Carolina, I thought, Nikki, come on, even Ron DeSantis stepped out. So why won't you? But she actually thought that she had a chance. And I think that she was listening to people like the governor of New Hampshire, Sununu, and some of the other party big wigs who are never Trumpers, telling her, oh, you got this, women like you. Okay, women like you, but a majority of the electors, a majority of the voters, rather, they weren't behind her. And she couldn't see that. She couldn't read the tea leaves to see, Nikki, it's over. They don't want you. And she stayed there. And she's a very, I mean, I got to say, she's a vicious person, I think. Because you remember on the debate stage when she would go after Vivek and he called her out because he saw her for who she was. And oftentimes she would sit back and she would watch other people attack him while she claimed, I'm going to be above this and I'm a woman in a skirt and I can do X, Y, Z. And then I began to go sour on her and I said, no, this is it. And in my humble opinion, I think that she's probably put a nail in the coffin for her political aspirations. I think it's over now. Never say never, because they can always rehabilitate these candidates and she could come back. But I think that she's going to have to do a lot of rehabilitation, because right now I've grown sour on her. And because she's waiting so long to come out and endorse Trump, why is she waiting? There's no other candidate. She's not going to get it. And she had told someone, she said, well, we don't know how these trials are going to go. I'm thinking, but you know that it's a hoax. You know that they're doing this to stop him. So are you hoping also that they will stop him so that you could step up? And I think sincerely, that's what she was looking at. And I think that had she won her home state of South Carolina, she would have remained in the race thinking, well, we'll get all the way to the convention and then they will pick me. But then people were seeing through her. They were seeing her for who she is, a rhino, a party establishment, who was willing to take the party back to the George Bush Jr. days. And the Republican Party has moved on from that. We're now the party of the working class. We're now the party of all working together, while the Democrats have become the party of the elitist, thanks to Barack Obama. So she was missing that. And if you don't have the judgment, because she spoke about that also, that she has better judgment than Trump. But if you don't have the judgment to see that the party had moved on from you and that they were telling you, no matter what, we are behind Trump. And we saw that during the first caucus, the first primary, the party was behind Trump while the media kept saying, oh, he's not going to get 50%. He's not going to get this. And and she was buying into it as if though she was a cheerleader on the sidelines, rallying what they were saying. So I think at this point, what she should do is put on her big girl panties, put on her heels, and come out and say, I endorse Trump unequivocally. He will be the party candidate, and I support him and all of my supporters. He has earned your right to vote for him. It's not that he needs to do anything. By the sheer virtue that he's allowing these Democrats to attack him, what other person would do it? Most candidates would just say, well, let me just suspend my campaign and go and look and see what's happening here. I need to deal with this. This is more important. But he's saying, look, I'm doing this for America. I can go and, you know, count my billions of dollars because they're trying to break me. They're trying to steal my money. Look at Letitia James trying to take all of this real estate. And where were the Republicans to say this is wrong? Now they're coming out. But Heather, I think they should have come out a lot sooner. Where are our jurisprudence judges to write briefs and say, this makes no sense. What are these judges doing in New York? This is the reason why people don't trust the legal system. This is the reason why Black people don't trust the legal system, because they've been railroaded before. But no one is saying anything about it. If the tables were turned and he were a Democrat, what you bet, you would have every commentator on fake news, CNN, PMSNBC saying, oh, this is what Black people go through all the time. I was listening to Sonny Hostin. I saw a clip from her the other day. I don't know if you saw it. She had attended the trial and she came back to The View, and this is her assessment. There are too many white people in that courtroom. Really? So, and what are you trying to say? That if blacks were there, they would find Trump guilty? When we know statistics have shown us that black people are more forgiving than whites are. So what is she trying to say? There are too many white people. So I went there and I put some color in it. I thought, really? I mean, again, talking along racial lines, trying to instigate, trying to elicit emotions from people. Did you hear when she said that, Heather?
No, I missed that scintillating insight. But yeah, I mean, it's obvious to anybody with a brain that this is an unending campaign to stop Trump. Most of these people couldn't even tell you what he is accused of, what crime he supposedly committed. I mean, basically, an NDA, which, as you said, is legal. What I was going to say earlier is I know plenty of businessmen in New York, including some big liberals, who, have confided to me that they have plenty of NDAs, that they don't admit to wrongdoing against the women, but they say they'll settle to make some of these women go away because these are successful men. They hire women. I'm not saying that it's always one way or the other. There are men who harass women, okay? And there
And
are
women,
unscrupulous women
correct.
who have jumped on this Me Too movement. And believe me, there are opportunistic women. And, without even judging the veracity in any of these cases, the bottom line is there are plenty of men. I would venture to speculate that the majority of high-powered men in a place like Manhattan have at least a couple NDAs, meaning they've had women accuse them of things and they've paid them to go away. A lot of that guy across the street from you or across the table from you who has the big liberal credentials and is all condemning of Harvey Weinstein and Donald Trump for using the P word, he probably has a few NDAs himself. It's very common. And, it may mean the guy's a harasser, or it may mean that he hired somebody who took advantage of the moment. But it's one of the more common kinds of agreements in big business these days. A lot of men, and probably some women too, pay people to go away, people who make accusations. So, and it's a legal agreement, as you said. If the per, you know, if the two people agree to it, it's like any other contract. It's like, I'm buying your silence. I'm giving you compensation to go away, and the other person has to agree to it. And presumably, if that other person has really been attacked or violated, they should have gone to the police, right? But, this is, sometimes maybe about other things. And, we know a lot of times relationships go south and et cetera. So for various reasons, though, we're living in an environment where people with a lot of money in business are very vulnerable, and they frequently have their lawyers handle things like this for them. It's not uncommon at all.
What not only people are big businessmen and women, but you know what else, Heather? Even people on the Hill have done the exact same thing, have paid out. And we found that out, I think, shortly after the 2020 election, that Congress had a slush fund whereby they were paying different aides because of the actions of many members in Congress. But they don't want to talk that up. They want to pretend as if though that didn't happen. Well, no, the money that you're paying them is taxpayer money. So why is that money set aside to pay for indiscretions of these congressmen and women? One of those quietest kept moments. But again, the media wants us to think and assume that no, this is what Trump has done. That's wrong. Bad Trump. Bad orange man. So they keep playing this over and over again. I was watching fake news CNN, a clip that is, not watching it because it's extremely boring, but I was watching a clip whereby they were role playing. They had one guy who was an attorney and then another journalist to read the transcript that took place in the courthouse. I mean, they want Trump found guilty so bad, it doesn't matter if this will even be overthrown on an appeal. And I even have reservations about that because you have judges, especially this Judge Merchan, who are so corrupt. And yes, I said it, corrupt, that they will sit back and allow this to move forward. Trump even went to the appeals court to say, hey, this gag order is unconstitutional. And what does the appeal court say? Well, denied. We want it to stay in place. Well, a gag order isn't to protect the prosecution, it's to protect the defendant to ensure he gets a fair trial, that the prosecution isn't out saying negative things to prejudice the jurors. But see, they don't care. This judge knows what he's doing is wrong. That is a reason why I was so glad to see members of Congress at the trial in support of Trump. I was so glad to see it. I am glad that after before and after each day of these trial, Trump comes out and he addresses the public. They want to keep him off the campaign trail. It is obvious. And when you see the commentary on social media of people who just don't get it, who don't understand the law, who don't understand anything about an NDA, trying to give their commentaries, and the only thing they can say is, oh, Trump should go to jail. Trump should go to jail. But what did Trump do? They can't tell you. And then when they say, oh, well, he paid for this to silence this woman, that's not illegal. It happens all the time. So what did he do? Well,
Being accused of trying to cover the, of trying to, what is it? He's being accused of having someone else actually pay the NDA, which is not illegal, as you said, but so that it wouldn't be come out that he had these NDAs before the
But it's not illegal.
election. I don't, it's not a, I mean, you have to ask a lawyer. I mean, I don't,
Well, I'm
I think
telling
it
you
was
now,
more
Heather,
strategy.
I don't have to be a lawyer. It's not illegal. It happens all
He
the
wanted,
time. Even
he actually didn't, he
even the
tried
fact, but Heather, here it
to
is.
not.
Even the fact that he they put
Right.
it they did they classified it as a legal expense. Well, if I pay my lawyer, that is a legal expense. I got the advice from my lawyer. And that's the reason why they have not told us what the crime is. They're saying hush money. What hush money? It's not illegal. But they want you to think that it is. Again, we're up against a hard commercial break, but we will be back with more After Dark on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. And as I always say, if you missed yesterday's show or the show before, or if you missed this show and you want to hear a repeat, please go to America Out Loud Podcast Network, where you can listen to all of our shows. You can also go to America Out Loud News and America Out Loud Shop, where you can find a lot of health products and good books to read. We'll be back after this brief commercial break.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Hard to believe, Heather, but we're up against the last half of the show, and I have been enjoying this conversation or debate going backwards and forward as to how we see different things. And as I've said before, Heather and I, we're both conservatives, both Republicans, and we don't always see eye to eye. And I think that's the beauty of having open discourse and being able to have the conversation and not attack the other person. And at the end of the day, she and I, we can meet up, we can go for coffee, go for a bite to eat, and still remain friends. And that's what we need to get it back to, Heather. We need to be able to have those conversations. Now, I would like to think that I could have these conversations with some of my liberal friends, and I can, but when it comes to politics, sometimes I stay clear because I know my position. But I think that sometimes people become so emotional, and I don't want to say emotional because they want you to accept what they're saying, but emotional in that they know that you're right and that they're wrong, but they just can't get beyond it. So most of the time I try to stay clear of politics because it can end friendships if the friendship isn't strong enough. You know, people take sides, they get all personal and like, oh, you're attacking me. But again, like I said, you and I, we're both conservatives. But we do have, we do things differently, but we're able to discuss it and then move on.
I consider myself a conservative leaning independent, just to clarify, Rob.
Conservative independent. Okay.
Yes, yes. But I mean, I always love talking to you. And, you know, it was an interesting cast of characters at the trial, you know, this week. I think some of them may be hoping for a vice presidential nod. You know, I think J.D. Vance, I've thought all along, is just really a clear thinker, up by his bootstraps, great dramatic personal story, author of Hillbilly Elegy. He grew up in poverty and he, you know, got to the Ivy League and maintained his conservative views despite that. And he's, you know, a real doer, I think, for Ohio. I'd love to see him as Trump's VP pick. I also think Burgum seems like a solid, you know, kind of an old school conservative. You know, I guess South Dakota. Is it South Dakota or North Dakota where he's?
North Dakota.
He is. I don't know how many votes that would bring along, but I could see Trump picking either of those guys. I had kind of hoped at least Stefanik might get, you know, a chance because I think she's a very tough and effective and serious woman. She's a congresswoman from New York, made a real splash in the hearings of those Ivy League presidents, standing up for the civil rights of Jewish students on campus. But I've, you know, been very impressed with her even before that. So, I mean, I would love to see any of those people chosen, or Tim Scott, although I don't know if Tim Scott made it today to the courtroom, or Vivek. I think Vivek is a fearless truth teller, someone who, like Trump, is poised to take on a corrupt establishment and just an unapologetic and brilliant, you know, just light. I, you know, I'm a big fan. I know some people find him abrasive, but I think very much like Trump, he is not afraid to call them as he sees them. Tremendous courage, as I see it, and a lot of success in the real world, which I think, as you know, I think is what we need, and you know, more in our leadership. And I understand Florida Senator Rick Scott did a really good job as governor, and I think he would be a solid choice. So I don't know. Who do you think Trump's going to pick?
I don't know, Heather. I like Brian Donalds. I think that he I think he would make a phenomenal vice president. He has gravitas. He has a presence. And he looks presidential. I like Tim Scott, but I don't see him as presidential. I see him being, you know, a second to someone, but I don't see him moving up. Maybe it would take time for him to get there. Doug Burgum, I don't see him as being presidential either. At least Stefanik, I can see her as a cabinet member, not presidential. And I know what Trump is looking for, someone who's going to balance the ticket, someone who's not going to overpower him, step into the limelight. He wants someone who will be in the background. But what Trump has got to realize is that he will only be president for 4 years, really 2 years, because after that second year, that VP has got to start stepping out and making his presence known. And Trump has got to be able to accept that and allow that person to step out there. I know Trump likes all of the attention, but there's going to have to be a balancing act. Trump can get into power and then start to immediately do the executive orders by sending all these illegals back across the border. He could do that. He could, if he has a supporting Congress and Senate, he could say, hey, let's enact laws whereby we can end, what is this, anchor babies, birth by citizenship. They need to end it. My concern is that if he does get a Republican Senate and House, I don't think that a lot of these individuals will work for him. These congressmen will work with him to achieve the goal that he needs to achieve. I hope they will, because mm-hmm. if they were on the Democrat side, they would do it. So, and that's my, I'm hoping that these individuals that are running, they got to realize that you're trying to save democracy. You're trying to save the United States of America. That's in essence what you're doing. Because if we don't save it, if we mess up this November, I think that's it. The Democrats have shown us who they are. When you look around you and you see all these wacky ideas, starting with men pretending to be women, men getting jobs that women should have, men going out pretending that they can have babies. You have men who are paying women to have babies to give to them. To me, that's a form of slavery. I'm going to pay you. You give me the baby. And then I'm going to go to a hospital, and I'm going to jump in the hospital bed to pretend as if though I gave birth. That's crazy. That has to stop.
Are you talking about surrogacy? Are you talking about
not surrogacy. No, right now, there is an app whereby two men or two lesbians can go on and cherry pick and the perfect baby. I want this woman. I want this. I want that. And then they will pay them to have the baby. To me, that's wrong. Okay, I'm not talking about surrogacy. I'm not talking about that. I understand that. But that is wrong, because the only thing they're looking at is they're trying to make the perfect baby. And it's getting to that. We have to have laws in place to stop this craziness. And if we don't, we keep doing it, we're making it normal. And I don't think that is normal. I think that is wrong. Okay, so that kind of craziness. Go ahead.
Trying to have babies the old-fashioned way. I mean, they're trying, men and women, albeit they're striking an agreement. You know, I mean, that's more the libertarian in me, Rob. I have a somewhat different take on all that. I don't think there's anything wrong as long as people have contracts and they treat each other fairly. You know, to me, that's like an NDA or like any agreement between, you know, free people. If somebody wants to, you know, a baby and someone else wants to carry that baby, and that is a fairly entered contract where everybody has rights protected, I don't have any problem with that.
I hear what you're saying, but I think,
you know, but that's
right. My issue with it is that you have these sites that are specifically designed so that you can design a baby. And that's how it's advertised. You can design the perfect baby that you want. If these individuals wanted a child so bad, they could go to an adoption agency. There are many babies that need to be adopted. So I think that we're going off of the deep end.
But you know, when a woman goes to a sperm bank now, she can look through a catalog and see the particulars and baby pictures of the man. And to me, that's not so different from natural selection. Let's face it, we all select partners based on what we want, what we consider to be the closest to perfect we can get. So to me, that really just echoes nature. It's not
I hear you.
Unethical.
I hear you, but the way it is advertised. But the way it's advertised to these couples, what they can do, And when you see it, it's very disturbing. And I'm going to find one of the articles that I saw with the advertisement and send it to you. And then we can come back and we can discuss that. So I have a problem with that. But going back to what I was saying is that if we get it wrong and if we don't get it right, I think that America as we know it could possibly be over. You have a man in the White House now who people are saying he's the best and he's going to help us, and he's not. He's forgetful. And they've been chilling for him, covering up for him. Whereas you have a man who wants to save America. Granted, we don't like the way he talks. Well, he talks as well, okay. But Biden doesn't even talk. Biden can't even remember things. But they want us to believe that he's the best thing. That's extremely dangerous. And they complained and said that Trump had his hand on the red button. And you have a man who's forgetful, who doesn't even know what the red button is. He might press it thinking, oh, this looks nice. Let me press it. And then there you go. Nuclear war. There's just so many things wrong with this White House and with Joe Biden that I think that Republicans need to come together, as we opened up saying, and say, this is the candidate. The people have spoken. We support him. We need to get behind him, Nikki Haley. We need to get behind him, Chris Christie. And if you can't do it, just shut the heck up. Now, I hate I mentioned Christie's name, because so far, Heather, you've noticed he's been rather quiet. He hasn't come out. He hasn't come in. He hasn't given any commentary on the trials that Trump is going through. Now, before they started, he was out saying, oh, Trump is guilty. But he hasn't come out to say anything. Because he knows, just like a lot of other attorneys, that this is a sham job, that this is wrong. And I think that more of them should be speaking out and calling it out. Because if it's happening to them, they're just showing you, this is what we'll do to you. And it's not just them trying to stop Trump. They want to scare anyone who support him. So that show of force with those Republicans coming out, Heather, yeah, some of them are probably thinking, well, he might pick me as a VP. But I think it said a lot more as well, Heather. It shows that, hey, we're trying to unify. I think Ron DeSantis should show up, and Nikki Haley, wherever she is, she needs to get out there. Because for the most part, everyone who was running, they've shown up, with the exception of Nikki and Chris Christie. And I don't think we need Chris Christie, but I definitely think that Nikki should come out and support. And it shouldn't be Trump calling her. She should call him. I say,
well, but Rob,
I'm going to be there.
But he's say he's kind of burned his bridge with her. I mean, he's already called her a bird brain, said he's not going to consider her.
Well, do you think he should consider her?
I think he should. I mean, of course they have big differences, but I mean, I think she'd bring some votes in. Yeah, I do. And
well, I think
he
might have burned
them.
Well, I think she can bring the votes in without being on the ticket. I think that she needs to just stand up and say, hey, I support you. This is how we're going to win. I mean, if that's the only thing she's looking at, that I want to be the VP. I mean, she's young. She could always run at a different time. I mean, you got to think about what she did also. Yeah, he called her a bird brain. Okay, but then, like you say, she could say, well, but you picked me to be your UN secretary. Okay, but when she came out and attacked him with the Democrats' talking points that he's old, he's forgetful, look, he's made mistakes. I mean, to me, that was a bit too far. So I think that she should pick up the phone. Go ahead.
So that precipitated. She said that before he called her a bird brain.
Yeah, she did. Yep.
I didn't.
Yep. And she started it. Mm-hmm. She started using that in Iowa during the first caucus. And and many people said, you know, why is she using the Democrats' talking points, their ammunition? So I personally think that she should pick up the phone and should say, Mr. President, I support you 100%. You got me out of obscurity. I mean, she was going to lose her election in South Carolina because the people were turning against her because they felt that she was going for big businesses. So he's helped save her. So the least she can do is say, hey, I need to swallow my pride and I need to get on board. I mean, if you claim to be this like strong, powerful woman and you claim, hey, I can fight with the guys, but then when you get a couple of punches, you want to go back to, oh, but I'm a woman. Well, you attack me that way. No, it doesn't work that way. And I'm getting tired of that. You know, you got women who want to jump up there, jump in the ring with men. And then when you start punching, then it's like, oh, but you're punching a lady. No, 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 I don't want to hear it. And Democrats are really bad with it. So that has to stop. Now, we're coming up against the hour again, Heather, and I want to get your thoughts on a couple of things. Did you hear about Kamala Harris using the F?
No.
Well, she was on a talk show, and she was talking about, you know, how doors are closed and you got to open the doors up. And she goes, sometimes doors are open, sometimes they close. And when they close, you got to kick the effing door down. I thought, wow, they're really trying to rebrand her. But you know something else, I'll get your thoughts on this before we close out, is that you hear a lot of talk that people are saying that this summer Joe will probably step aside and the Democrats will choose another candidate. And they don't say that he'll step aside and allow Kamala to step up. It's always another candidate, and that other candidate happens to be the governor of California. And I'm thinking, yeah, so you guys are going to hopscotch over the first black female vice president, first female vice president, and first black vice president for a white guy with slick hair, Gavin Newsom. So that speaks volume as to who this party actually is. It is the party of identity politics, and they use that against, or they use it to attract voters. And I don't think voters even realize it because they do it in such a subtle fashion, because that's all we've heard, that Joe is going to be replaced and they're going to get another candidate, as opposed to saying Kamala will step in, Joe will step aside and Kamala will step in. It's not that. It's that Joe will step aside and they will get another candidate. So I feel really sorry for Kamala, because they're just hopscotching right over her. Guess what, folks? We're out of time again. I've got to put Heather on hold again. And you know what that means? We've got to bring her back to get her thoughts on Kamala and how they're trying to hopscotch over her and put in the white man that they claim is so toxic. Folks, you're listening to After Dark on the America Outlaw Talk Radio Network. And my special co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. We're glad you could tune in tonight. As I said before, make certain that you catch us on America Out Loud Podcast Network if you want to hear a replay of this. And also go to America Out Loud Shop if you want to get some of our healthy products like Healthy Cell or Healthy Heart and Acer Redux Supplement. As we always say at the end of the show, stand for something or fall for nothing. God bless America. God bless Israel. Good night. We see you again tomorrow night. Thank you.